Going to read from God's Word, the Bible, and it's Matthew 8, and it's Matthew 8, and it's 23 to 27, and this is God's Word. Then he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." If I take the plunge with Jesus, will I sink? Really vital question, I guess, for any of us this evening, myself included. And I suspect many of us in here this evening are already following Jesus, but I never assume and I never presume, and we shouldn't either. And perhaps you're not following Jesus. And if you're not, perhaps this is part of the reason why you're not, because you don't want to be a fake. You don't want to be a phony. You don't want to start off with Jesus and then quit. You don't want to be a hypocrite. And maybe that this evening is holding you back from giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. And if that's so with you, I pray that something this evening we look at from God's Word will be helpful to you. And I suspect many of us are already following the Lord Jesus. And, well, this is a word for us too, for sure, because maybe you're struggling. And maybe everybody looks at you and they think you're such a bright Christian, and in many ways you are. But you're struggling with something, and maybe nobody else knows about it. Maybe your family don't know. Maybe your very closest friend, you wouldn't even share it with them. Maybe you're embarrassed by it. Maybe you're ashamed by it. But you feel that you are sinking. And you've taken the plunge with Jesus. You've committed your heart and life and future to him. Will you sink? This question that Jesus answers here, it follows on perfectly from the previous passage in Matthew's Gospel in verses 18 to 23, where we meet two men who had to think through whether or not they would commit their lives to Jesus. Now, one man was overcautious, and the other man was overhurried. Well, what if we think through what it means to follow Jesus and take the plunge? Or what if we already have taken the plunge with Jesus? Can we sink? So if you've got a Bible, let me encourage you please to open it up at Matthew 8, 23 to 27. That'd be really helpful. I know you're well accustomed to doing that on Hill Street. And we find an answer to that question. If I take the plunge with Jesus, will I sink? And the answer, I think, is this, that Jesus' followers are kept in his strong calm. So whatever's taking place in our life, when Jesus has saved us and made us his, then we are kept in his strong calm. What does that look like? Well, our initial response to this question, if I take the plunge with Jesus, will I sink? Our initial response seems none too encouraging because, first of all, sudden and violent storms come to Jesus' followers. There's a warning in verse 24. I'm preaching from the ESV. And behold, it begins. And whenever Matthew uses that phrase, and behold, it means that something dramatic, something startling, is going to take place here. Back to verse 23. And when he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And we're assuming by his disciples that means the 12, who've earlier committed to following Jesus. They're following him onto this boat. But Matthew's readers already know this is going to be no pleasure trip. And behold, danger's looming, trouble's coming. And behold, verse 24, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. Storm means a shaking. It's like an earthquake. So this is an earthquake. And it's a great storm, says Matthew. It's strong. It's violent. It's so bad, in fact, that the boat was being swamped by the waves. It's being saturated. It's a sudden, vicious, violent storm. It's certainly no hoax call to the Coast Guard. This is a real emergency. Jesus is sleeping, but we can hear the panic in his disciples' voices. If you look, please, at verse 25, and they went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, Lord, we're perishing. It's just three words in the original. This is an SOS call to Jesus, save us. There's no time for eloquent prayers here. The way it's put, actually, they have already begun to perish. We're already drowning, Jesus. That's what their cry means. And remember who these guys are. They follow Jesus. They are doing what one man in the previous episode promised Jesus he would do in verse 19. Teacher, he said, I will follow you wherever you go. They're doing what Jesus commanded the other man to do in verse 22 when he said, follow me. And here in our passage are these disciples of Jesus, and they are facing sudden and violent storms. Why? Because sudden and violent storms come to Jesus' followers in a fallen world just like they do to everybody else. I think what we've got here in Matthew 8 is a wee bit like the weather warnings that sometimes we see on the TV or flash up on our phone. And Carol Kirkwood from the BBC, she comes on and she says, there's an amber storm warning. Get ready. The wind's about to come. Batten down the hatches. Be prepared. Matthew 8 is a kindly warning, a kindly meant helpful warning to Jesus, from Jesus to his followers, that sudden and violent storms can come to us. And Jesus' warning to his followers that storms will come is important because it helps us to prepare. It helps us to get, we don't know when, see, the thing about a storm is you don't know when it's going to hit. If we all knew when the storm was going to come into our lives, the Christian life would be pretty easy, but we don't know. Events happen. Things we couldn't possibly ever conceive of happening do. Painful things. Heartbreaking things. Worrying things. And so this evening, here's an encouragement from Jesus through his word, the Bible, to us to be walking closely with him to get ready. Because we never know when the storm will come. It's also important about this warning from Jesus to his followers that it helps us to deal with our doubts. I mean, sometimes we think when terrible things happen to us and we're following Jesus, well, if I was a real Christian, surely this wouldn't happen to me. But Jesus says no. He says sudden and violent storms come to all of us. And that includes Jesus' followers. So may this passage settle you if you're going through a stormy time. If you have been going through a stormy time, maybe for years, may this passage settle you that you are following the footsteps of the disciples of the Lord Jesus back in Matthew 8. Sudden and violent storms do come to Jesus' followers. Or maybe you're not following Jesus, but you're listening to all of this and you're thinking, well, do you know what? If sudden and violent storms hit Jesus' followers, what end will I ever take? And can I say to you this evening, if you're thinking that, that's a really healthy way to be thinking. If you're not yet trusting in Jesus, that's a really healthy way to be thinking. And I'm actually delighted that you're thinking that way. And why would I be delighted by that? Because, and here's why, in the words that Jesus uses here, he wants us to see that there is a greater danger than the physical danger. And that greater danger is if we perish and end up being lost from him forever. If we just put the next slide up, please. Now, is this preacher's license? Am I just begging this up? Is this the kind of preacher's license I'm using here? Well, not at all. The word that's used there for perishing or drowning in verse 25, that very same root word is used just two chapters later in Matthew 10 and verse 28, where Jesus warns. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul." Rather, he says, "Fear him who can destroy or perish." It's the same root word, or drown, both body and soul, where in hell. Jesus came not simply to rescue us from physical death, because unless he returns, we will all die. But he came to rescue us from the eternal death of, when we die, being lost from him forever in hell, it says. You see, Jesus is so kind, he's so gracious. Jesus warns us now so that we'll not perish and be lost from him forever. And so the question is, I wonder, will you respond to Jesus and heed his warning to you tonight? And ask him to rescue you. You've heard it all before. But just because you've heard it all before doesn't mean to say you've done anything about it. Is it possible you've come along to Hill Street tonight, this congregation that's got a reputation for teaching the Bible and being a gospel-centered church? I attended for years a gospel-centered church where I heard the message of Jesus crystal clear, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, and it went in through one ear and out the other. And that may be the case with you this evening. Please heed this warning. There's something more serious than death, and that is dying without Jesus. You don't want to die without him, friends. Sudden and violent storms come to Jesus' followers, and so this initial answer to the question, if I take the plunge with Jesus, will I sink? This initial answer seems none too encouraging, but I'm so glad there's a but, and we need this but, and here it comes. Secondly, but sudden and violent storms come to Jesus' followers, yes, but secondly, the Prince of Peace brings peace. 700 years earlier, a prophet called Isaiah promised that the Messiah King would come, promised throughout the Old Testament. And he would come as the Messiah. And this Messiah, says Isaiah, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, would be the Prince of Peace. This rescuing, reigning king would come to bring peace between God and all those who will trust in him, in his son Jesus. Well, these 12 guys in the boat with Jesus, they could certainly do with a big dollop of that peace, couldn't they? They're sending out the SOS to Jesus. Jesus, we're drowning, we're already perishing. I mean, won't you rescue us, Jesus? Don't you care? And then for the game changer, because yes, sudden and violent storms come to Jesus' followers, but the Prince of Peace brings peace. Just before we come on to that, do you notice how Jesus himself is filled with peace? Perfectly calm. I just love this. Notice the stark contrast between Jesus and everything and everyone else in this snapshot. So the wind's howling, the waves are pounding, the disciples are panicking, and Jesus, he's sleeping. Verse 24, if you look there, please, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. Amidst the panic, amidst the apparent chaos, Jesus is out for the count. He is perfectly calm. He is filled with peace. So how natural, therefore, for us to look to this Prince of Peace to bring us peace. The disciples certainly got that bit right. If you look with me, please, at verses 25 and 26. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves. He curbed them. He restrained them. He told them off. And in place of the violent storm, he brought a great calm. The lesson's really clear, isn't it? So obvious. That sudden and violent storms come to Jesus' followers, but the Prince of Peace, he brings his peace with him. And that's reinforced right at the very end of the story, where the disciples realize that Jesus is no ordinary man. After Jesus rebukes the winds and the waves, and brings calm both to the people and to the place. We read in verse 27, "The men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Actually, Jesus' disciples don't call him a man. The word man is not in the original at all. It's not there. Basically, they're saying, "Who is this? I mean, look at what he's just done. Is the title man sufficient for him?" I mean, the disciples are seriously questioning if this title man is an adequate way of describing Jesus. He's much more than a man. And if they knew their Old Testaments, they would have known who it is that brings peace to the storm. Only one can do that, and his name is God. And the Old Testament makes it really clear that only God rules the sea and the storm. If you look at Psalm 107, it'll come up on the screen, hopefully, Psalm 107. Notice who calms the storm. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." Bring it all together. The Prince of Peace brings his followers peace, for the Prince of Peace is God himself. How natural, therefore, for us to look to him, the Prince of Peace, to bring us peace. Who's the calmest person you know? Just think about them for a second. The person who always seems to be chilled out. We all know at least one person who seems almost unflappable. I can think of a man I knew from years ago, and he used to do a wee bit of work for me, and he was horizontal. I don't think you could possibly, in any way, shape, or form, ever have got him to even begin to panic. And you're all thinking about people because I can see you talking there and smiling. And this gentleman, he was amazing. And he would tell you, so he would start and tell you what work he had to do for you. And as he described it, your cares just seemed to melt away. In fact, it was actually just the way he said your name. He said, "Kenny." And the way he said "Kenny," I can't even describe it. But it was like his calm was transferred over to me. And I knew it was going to be all right. Just the way he said it. He brought me his calm, his peace. And how much more so Jesus. For Jesus is no mere man. He is a man, yes, fully human, but fully God too. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, this man who is God himself, how much better to have him with you in the storm. Much better than my really chilled friend. Much better than that person you've been thinking about a moment or two ago who is totally horizontal. Jesus is not just somebody who is horizontal. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is God himself who brings us his peace. And so if we just put the next slide up, please. When storms come to you as Jesus' follower, please know. Please know that he will bring you peace, for Jesus is no ordinary man. He is God himself bringing you his peace. I mean, how amazing is that? We all come up against difficult situations, worrying things. It could be in study, it could be at home, it could be at work, it could be in our family life, it could be in any kind, it could be with our friends. And sometimes life's really difficult and it's really hard to know what to say or what to do. And I meet people and they're not trusting in Jesus and terrible things happen. And their life just falls apart. It disintegrates. We've all seen that, haven't we? So sad. So hopeless. And I've met many other people, and they're following Jesus. And maybe they're experiencing just the same thing, and it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is so evidently with them in the storm. And folks, that's the eternal game changer. And if you don't have him with you, if you'll ask him, Jesus will become the Prince of Peace to you. And I want to say to you tonight, you need him and you know you do. I need him and I know I do. Well, if you already have him, or if you will trust in him to be the Prince of Peace for you tonight, what difference does that make? Well, here's the last thing. So we can live, finally, we can live each day in Jesus' strong calm. I love how carefully Matthew has crafted this story. You know, sometimes people will say to you, the Bible, can you trust it? And it's just thrown together. And how come you can believe that? It's just a pile of fables. And people who say that often have not carefully studied the Bible for themselves. Often what they say to you is second hand. And if you challenge them, they often have no basis for saying it. And here's just one example out of many we could give this evening for how carefully crafted God's inspired word the Bible is. Because if you look at verse 24, Matthew talks about a great storm or a strong storm. And then if you look at verse 26, the Prince of Peace, says Matthew, brings a great calm or a strong calm. It's the same root word both times. In other words, Matthew explains that the strong storm is replaced by a strong calm. That's what Matthew wants us to see. Now, if the disciples had realized this, if the disciples had realized that actually Jesus brings his strong calm into our strong storms, it would have greatly increased their little faith. Because as the wind howls and as the waves pound the boat, and the disciples think they're already perishing and they're panicking and they're crying out to Jesus, so that Jesus responds to them in verse 26, if you look there, please, and he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. They have little faith. Little can mean little in number or little in quality. These guys have little in quality, low-grade, one-star faith. And so Jesus wants them to see that if they could just look to him, if they could even see and remember and recall and think through what already has happened in Matthew's gospel, how Jesus has talked with an authority nobody else had, how he can cleanse lepers, the cancer of the day, how he could heal people with all kinds of illnesses. And yet here they are, and they still are of one star, low-grade, little faith. If the disciples had but realized that Jesus brings his strong calm into our strong storms, it would have greatly increased their little faith. So may Jesus' followers, myself included, learn from this. May our little faith in Jesus grow in quality into sturdy and well-built faith, because we see that Jesus brings his strong calm into our strong storms. I'm a farmer, not a fisherman. And many years ago, when I was on summer holidays, I was studying at the time, I'd gone back to study. And my cousin Bobby owns a boat, and he's really kind. He's a great fella. And Bobby said to me, I knew I was off for the summer. And he said, now, you can have a berth on my fishing boat for the summer. You can go out and fish and catch fish and make some money for the summer. And you know, I'll never forget Bobby's kindness in offering me the berth in his boat and my response, and I could just think of going round the pier at Kilkeel and the boat just starting to do this and my stomach doing this and all that would follow that. And I thank Bobby sincerely. I'll never forget, isn't that so kind? I'll never forget that. But I knew the sea would need to be like that the whole time. if I was not only going to survive the fishing trip, but be of any help to the other guys on the deck. I needed there to be a perfectly strong calm if I was going to be any good to anyone. And folks, when we commit our lives to Jesus, how wonderful it is for us to know that at the steering wheel of your life stands Jesus, God's own Son, who brings God's strong calm into our lives. How good it is to know that. He's at the steering wheel, the Lord Jesus himself. I'm not at the steering wheel. You're not at the steering wheel. Jesus is. And what a difference that makes, to have his strong calm. So let's say you're a Christian parent. And let's say that you're unsure how to guide your family. Maybe some of them are following Jesus, some aren't. And you're frustrated. Maybe you're frightened. It's not easy being a Christian parent. Really tough these days. What a difference it makes when you follow Jesus and you know his strong calm as a Christian parent or Christian grandparent or Christian aunt or uncle. What a difference that makes to have Jesus' strong calm in your family. Or you're a young person. Great to see so many young people here this evening. So you're a young person. And well, maybe you think that lots of other young people have got it far more together than you have. You wouldn't maybe admit that, but maybe that's what you think. And you look at other people, and they seem to have it far more together than you have as a young person. Or they seem to have lots more friends. They're much more popular than you. But at the steering wheel of your life stands Jesus. And I pray that day by day you will know his strong calm settling you. Or maybe you're advancing in years, and maybe you're not quite sure how long your health will hold. Maybe you're concerned about all kinds of things, all kinds of decisions you've got to make, and you're not sure how to make them. How good it is to have your trust in Jesus and to be kept by his strong calm. So whatever scenario your life is in just now, as a follower of Jesus, you have God's Son who brings you his strong calm. So here's the answer to this vitally important question, a question that we all ask and all need a clear answer to. If I take the plunge with Jesus, will I sink? And if you're not following Jesus, when will you ask Jesus to bring you to heaven? Will you ask him to do that tonight? I mean, why would you put this off? This is a no-brainer, folks. This is an absolute no-brainer. To go through my life with Kenny Hanna at the steering wheel or go through my life with Jesus at the steering wheel, I'm really glad he's in control, not me, that he's sovereign, not me. We need him. You need him. Commit your life to him. For Jesus is God's Son who will bring you into God's strong calm. And if you are already following Jesus, then yes, sudden and violent storms come to Jesus' followers, like everyone else, because we all live in a fallen from God world. But the Prince of Peace brings us peace so that we can live each day, each moment, each circumstance in Jesus' strong calm. For Jesus' followers are kept safe and secure in his strong calm. Thank God that that's true. Let's pray.